big debate about whether or not we should expand coal trains running up and down the coast here in western Washington. They have held 7 public hearings on plans to build an export terminal that would be carrying coal and other, you know, materials to Asia. It would probably mean 18 more trains per day, most of them carrying coal and other materials. Proponents say it's going to create jobs. Opponents say it could mean traffic delays. Some environmental groups saying it'll contribute to greenhouse gases and melt the earth. The question I have is, why don't we bring on both sides and hear what they have to say at the same time? So with that said, we have Sightline Institute, led by Ross McFarland, joining us. And from the Alliance for Northwest Jobs and Exports, in other words, we like the terminal, we have Lori Hennessy. I'm going to bring you both on here. We have them conferenced in. Very good. Phil, thanks very much. We have Ross on now with us. We have Lori on now with us. Lori, I'm going to start with you. What will change if this terminal is allowed?
Well, first of all, I would say that we need to kind of take a step back and think that train traffic in this region is going to increase. And we know plenty of people have concerns about that, but the reality is that train traffic increasing is a good thing. It means the region's getting on its feet, and we recently talked to some folks in the state, and 70% of the people in this state feel that when you have an increase in train traffic and barge traffic, that means that our economy is getting back on its feet. So, yes, there will be an increase in train traffic if we do this, but at the same time, there'll be jobs. So we're trying to make that point to people right now that there will be a slight increase, but there's a lot that comes with that increase.
Okay, and if this new terminal is built, it will be built in about a year or two? I mean, the approval for it will be granted in a year or two?
Yes, it's a long process. It's layers and layers of process. And, you know, what we're committing to people is that we're listening to the concerns they have, and the federal, state, and local government, they're all reviewing all the concerns. And as the concerns come up, you know, our partners at BNSF will be working with communities to mitigate the concerns that come up.
And how many jobs are we talking about here, Lori?
We're talking about thousands of jobs in the region, and, you know, there's one terminal that's up in Whatcom County that you're mentioning, but there are other terminals on the table, too, and all of them mean more jobs and more revenue.
Aren't we talking about 5 terminals in all proposed for Washington and Oregon?
If they all happen.
Okay.
Yes, right now there's a couple of them. They're all at different points in the process. The terminal you're talking about in Whatcom County is the first out of the chute.
Okay, and we're talking about shipping coal from Montana and Wyoming to power plants throughout Asia, most particularly China.
Well, it is indeed going to Asia, but again, the point that we like to make all the time is that that coal is going to find its way to Asia. The question is whether it goes through Washington State on the way, providing jobs and economic revenue, or whether it passes us and it goes through Canada and it gives them the jobs and revenue, and Canada wants to ship this product.
Okay. With that said, let's go to Ross McFarland, Sightline Institute. Ross, thanks very much for being here.
Hi, John.
Okay.
Hi, Lori. I'm actually slight correction. I'm with Climate Solutions, but we work closely with Sightline.
Oh, very good. Thank you for that clarification. Climate Solutions. So tell me, why not?
Well, so
we need the jobs, and yeah, I think Lori makes a good point. A lot of people say, hey, you know, we don't want these trains going by. No, more train traffic is a good thing.
We strongly agree that more train traffic is a good thing, and that we need to be building jobs and exports, but doing it in a rational way. The proposals that we're talking about here are essentially projects to create a conveyor belt to move subsidized coal that we, the U.S. taxpayers, own in Montana and Wyoming to provide cheap power in China and other Asian countries where they can continue subsidizing their economy and getting exports back to us. And there are all sorts of economic and environmental reasons that are leading tens, if not hundreds of thousands of communities, businesses, and individuals to come out and say, we've got severe concerns, and we see issues regarding job losses in our communities. The issue of scale on the trains is really a critical thing that's hard to get your mind around. The Oregon and Washington combined had about 80 million tons of all imports of commodities coming in by train last year.
Okay.
The figure for Washington was about 57 million tons. Just this port up in Bellingham would equal 48 million tons. All of the proposals which Lori's group wants to build would be 150 million tons. So we're talking about doubling or even tripling the amount of commodities moved across our rail through communities for a single
commodity. Why is that a good thing, Ross? Because we keep hearing, why are we always importing from China, not exporting?
Well, I think it's a question of what are you importing and what are you exporting. We're setting ourselves up with this to be clogging our rail lines and our shipping lines to become a resource colony. And you know how much leverage resource colonies are. We're going to be competing with parts of the world like Indonesia and South Africa in terms of a race to the bottom to try to get the cheapest, most subsidized coal to them.
We have hundreds of years worth of coal in this mm-hmm. country. Hundreds of years worth of coal. Why wouldn't we sell it, Ross?
Well, the issue is, what kind of price are we getting for it as taxpayers, and what are the damages and impacts from that coal? I mean, coal is has some value, although this is very low-value coal from global perspective. Most of the value where it's sold in Asia is going to be the cost of shipping it. And it only makes sense with continued subsidies from the taxpayers, which have been in place because...
What are those subsidies, Ross?
First, the government allows the coal to be leased without any competitive bidding processes, which was something that was put in place to allow American utilities to keep power rates low. That obviously gets flipped on its head when you're talking about selling it to China. Second, the coal companies are avoiding lots of taxes that they owe by selling the coal at low prices to subsidiaries of theirs at the port dock and then turning around and selling it for three times that in China. That's something that both Republican Senator Murkowski and Democratic Senator Wyden just asked for an investigation on last month.
Hold that thought, because I'd like to get a response to that from Lori Hennessy. Lori?
In terms of the subsidies question?
Yes.
You know, I would flip that on its head. I mean, I think that opponents of this project, they like to use words like subsidies because that brings out a feeling in a lot of us of, is this equitable? But if you want to talk about equity, I mean, in British Columbia, the government is investing millions of dollars in port infrastructure because they want trade. They know exports are good. Exports are a sign of a strong economy. And they're investing money to help. This is stuff that's happening because we have private companies who are stepping up and building the plant. So I don't give any credence to that point. I would say these companies are stepping up and are helping make this happen.
So, Ross, what she's saying is we're not asking the government to build this terminal. The private company is going to build the terminal. They're just asking permission to build the terminal.
Well, the terminal will probably be built by a private company, but there's tens of millions in federal spending as well as potential state spending, which can be going along the way and which would be associated with this. I'll take some examples. You know, from a lot of very conservative blue-collar communities around the region who are absolutely up in arms and terrified about the impacts of doubling train traffic. Take a place like Marysville, which has seven at-grade crossings and has already seen coal trains delaying their access to I-5 and would have to spend $20 to $50 million to build an overpass. Now, the railroad isn't going to pay for that. The project proponent isn't going to pay for that.
Didn't you just agree with Lori Hennessy that more train traffic is a good thing?
It's an issue of scale, John. You know, we can build and we should build to be increasing our train traffic over time. But we're talking about a single commodity, which would be more than doubling train traffic on certain routes. You know, take the place of Spokane, where all of the train tracks come together, and you'd be looking at 60 to 70 new trains a day, mile and a half long, going through that community.
Okay.
That's why, you know,
hold that thought if you could, because we want to keep you guys around for another few minutes, if that's all right.
Sure.
Again, Ross McFarland here with Climate Solutions. They're an organization based in Seattle. They oppose this new export terminal in Bellingham that would greatly accelerate coal transport here in this area. Lori Hennessy for the Alliance for Northwest Jobs making the case for it. If that terminal is built, it probably will mean another four, five, maybe six terminals up and down the coast, Washington, Oregon. Is that a good thing? We'll take your feedback, 206-421-5757, as we continue our conversation and debate right here on Talk Radio 570 KVI.